From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. Good afternoon, and thank you for listening. The Juneau School District's current school closure plan would have it vacate three city-owned buildings: the district office on Glacier Avenue, the Marie Drake Building, and Floyd Dryden Middle School. Now, the city is eyeing those buildings as possible new homes for City Hall. KTOO's Katie Anastas reports.
Fewer than half of Juneau's city employees work at City Hall. The rest work in rented office space in four other buildings. One of those is the Marine View Building, which has frequent plumbing issues. Others work next door to City Hall, in a building Sea Alaska Heritage Institute is renovating. City Manager Katie Kester told Assembly members Monday night that it's been disruptive to employees.
Although SHI has done a great job really trying to mitigate some of that construction interruption, it really is not a great work environment. Deputy Manager Barr and I had a meeting today with employees, and everything from dust to noises to toxic fumes. Again, it's an active construction zone.
In October, Juneau voters rejected a bond proposal for a new City Hall building for the second year in a row. One alternative is moving to the Michael J. Burns Building, which houses the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation. A lease there would cost about $1.5 million a year. Not all of the city's workstations could fit into that building, but the rest could fit into the school district office nearby. The school buildings would likely fit everyone into a space the city already owns. Moving to the Marie Drake Building would keep City Hall downtown. But it's an aging facility with little parking, especially if all high school students end up going to Juneau Douglas High School Yadaat Kahle next year. Floyd Dryden Middle School needs an upgraded HVAC system and part of its roof repaired. It's also more expensive to operate because of snow removal in the larger parking lot. But it has a good amount of parking and room to develop more, and it has amenities like a gym.
Those obviously would still have community use, which would be cool, right? City Hall having, like, pick up basketball while we're maybe in a meeting like this.
Floyd Dryden's location in the Mendenhall Valley would also put it where most of Juneau's residents and city employees live. But Kester said that would put them further away from downtown businesses, the legislature, and state offices. Kester told the Assembly that renovations at either school could cost anywhere from $13 million to $31 million, depending on the extent of the work.
$13.1 million gets you carpet, paint, cubicles, and if you want to do bathrooms, if you want to do walls, if you want to do some of these other things, and you start, you know, getting more expensive. If any of these options, I would say, let's see what we can get for $16.8 million, because that's what we have right now for this purpose.
Kester said there are a lot of other possibilities for the school buildings if they don't become City Hall. Marie Drake could be demolished and the space used for parking. Floyd Dryden could be used as a child care center or a new home for Juneau Animal Rescue. Mayor Beth Weldon liked those ideas.
I think Floyd Dryden is a better facility to let community agencies use. I've said from the very beginning, one side kiddos and the other side kitties.
Assembly members asked Kester to bring back additional information, including parking and renovation costs. In Juneau, I'm Katie Anastas.
And a little-known federal agency called Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, or BOEM, has a big role in regulating nearly 7,000 miles of coastline in Alaska. Last week, Regional Director Givi Kowanowski and Public Affairs Officer John Callahan met with dozens of lawmakers in Juneau. They also met with KTOO reporter Anna Canny, who asked them about the emergence of new technologies like offshore renewable energy and carbon storage projects in the state.
Good morning. I'm Givi Kohanovsky. I'm the regional director for the Alaska region of the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management.
Yeah, John Callahan, and I'm the public affairs officer for the Alaska region.
Thanks for joining me this morning. So I want to start off just for some of our listeners who haven't heard of the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management. Could you give us a little rundown of some of the work your agency does?
We were created by Congress originally to economically and environmentally friendly develop the Outer Continental Shelf, and those means the federal waters of the United States. And here in Alaska and elsewhere, that begins 3 miles offshore. So we're not a funding or development agency. We're a regulatory and permitting agency. So we work with other federal and state agencies to accomplish our mission in partnership.
If you wanted to explore for oil and gas or minerals or develop any energy sources in that zone, more than 3 miles offshore, were the bureau that you would come to.
Sounds like that would apply to a wide variety of resource development projects. And I know in the past the agency has focused on oil and gas projects, but I'm wondering if you could speak a little bit to the agency's recent shift towards renewable energy projects.
It's kind of a shift, but it's kind of not a shift at the same time. We have never stopped doing our legacy mission of conventional energy. We have active leases in Cook Inlet and on the North Slope for conventional energy. We have petroleum engineers on staff that help maintain our work on the conventional side. But in addition to that, we're expanding into some exciting new areas, which include renewable power, critical minerals and marine minerals, and also carbon storage. But on the renewable front, what's really exciting right now is a study that just came out from the National Renewable Energy Lab that we funded, looking at the renewable energy potential for Cook Inlet. And that has grid-wide impacts for Alaska, where the majority of our population lives.
Tidal energy is promising. Wind energy is probably more promising in terms of a development prospect in the near term. There's an area off southern Cook Inlet, north of the Barren Islands, that has literally some of the best winds in the world. It blows hard. It blows constantly. And those are the sort of resources that we're looking to bring to bear.
Okay, so developing renewables, that's huge for cutting the amount of carbon emissions we're putting into the atmosphere. On the flip side of that, I noticed you mentioned carbon storage or carbon sequestration, basically taking carbon out of the atmosphere and storing it, in this case, underground. And I thought that was really interesting. That's been a hot topic here in Alaska since Governor Dunleavy introduced his carbon management bill last session. So what will BOEM's role be in safely rolling out those types of projects in the state?
If you look at a map of the state, many of the areas in coastal Alaska that fall in the federal jurisdiction are very well suited for carbon storage. So the Cook Inlet and northwestern Alaska, I think this is an exciting time to be in this space and to be in the ground level of it. And that it's also wonderful to come down here and learn that the state government is working in parallel to a lot of what we're trying to accomplish, that there could be a lot of synergies there and collaboration.
Yeah, and very relevant to that. So carbon sequestration, as you know, is a very promising technology, right? But it's in its relative infancy. Our bureau, we again are the ones who are going to be tasked with regulating that in the offshore space. And in fact, we have been developing draft regulations in concert with other cooperating agencies, and expect to have draft regulations out to that effect later this year.
And finally, you're in town this week talking with legislators about some of these things, the carbon sequestration, the new renewable energy projects. How are those conversations going? And could you give us an idea of what that might mean for the agency's future work in the region?
All the legislators down here, both left and right, are very focused on energy issues, well-informed. We've gotten good questions, and we really appreciate the opportunity to educate them on how BOEM is part of that energy mix, especially as we get this renewable energy initiative kicked off.
And, you know, as Alaskans, many of us have concerns about the overreach of the federal government pushing stuff onto the state without state coordination or collaboration. And there's no better way to get collaboration than working with the state. Coming down here, talking to legislators, working with state agencies like the Alaska Energy Authority and the Department of Natural Resources, Department of Revenue. And we have several state agencies as part of our Cook Inlet work group looking at ways to harmonize the development pathway for industry so that you don't get 9 or 10 different answers from 9 agencies, that you get a solid approach to what will it take to actually make a project happen in Alaska.
That was KTOO's Anna Canny speaking with Givi Kowanowski and John Callahan from the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management. And as for the weather, it's 39 degrees and raining this afternoon in Juneau. The low tonight is 36 degrees. And we're expected to get more rain with possibly some snow thrown in for the next few days. Temperatures are expected to stay in that mid-30s to low-40s range, rising a little bit this weekend. And there's a special weather statement from the National Weather Service about warming temperatures with periods of heavy rain starting on Wednesday night into the weekend. In a 24-hour period, parts of the panhandle could get anywhere from 1 inch to 2.5 inches of rain. You're listening to KTOO.